Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to come together and worship and to enter into your presence, Lord. And Father, we're grateful for the Word of God, Lord, that speaks into our hearts and lives today. Lord, you know exactly where each one of us are, Lord, and truly, Lord, you know what we need. And so, Father, I pray by the Spirit of God that you would speak to us, Lord, and deal with our hearts, Lord, that in some way we would be changed today by the power of the Word of God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in the middle of a series on grace, that grace is for everyone. And we really do believe that, that the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for everyone to be saved. Grace is for all of us, and yet so many miss the grace of God. So the title of the message this morning is just simply Missing the Grace of God. You know, it's kind of a negative title. I don't really like negative titles, but I just want you to be so very aware that people do miss the grace of God. It happens all the time. Even though it's available to everyone, people miss it. Hebrews 12 and 15 says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." And this morning we want to endeavor to do just that. See to it that nobody misses the grace of God. Grace is so simple. It is God's undeserved, unearned favor upon our lives. It is available to everyone, because it's not earned. It's not deserved. And so it's available to all of us, but some people just miss it. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." John 1 and 17 tells us that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus, born in a manger as a little baby, over 2,000 years ago, amen, we celebrate that this time of year, Jesus came to this earth and he brought grace for every person. But you know, just like most of the world missed his coming, so many miss the grace of God that's available today. He has offered us the way of salvation, but to reject Jesus as Savior is to miss the grace of God. It's the grace way or no way. It is the only way, the way that he has provided by his grace. Grace really is for everyone, but it has to be accepted through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, some people would say, "Well, I've never rejected Jesus. I've just never really accepted him either." But listen, to not accept Jesus as Savior, to just ignore him, is to reject the grace that he has provided as Savior. Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 26, it says this, "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left." Now, you know, just a quick reading, somebody might think that what that's saying is that, well, if I sin after I know better, then there's no sacrifice left for me. I can't be forgiven anymore. Well, listen, we'd all be in trouble, because all of us still blow it. And, you know, you might say, "Well, not if we know better." Well, yeah, most of us know better and we still blow it. Some of you, don't look at me with self-righteous eyes. We know better. No, that's not what this verse is saying. What it is saying, it's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that if we go on in our sins, in our sinful life, and refuse, after knowing about Jesus, we refuse to accept him as our Savior, then there's no other sacrifice. There is no option. There is no other sacrifice other than Jesus that will pay for your sins. And so he says, there's no sacrifice for sins is left. Verse 27, "But only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God." Now, some people just want to leave those kinds of verses out of the Bible. Let's just get a magic marker. We'll just mark through that because we don't believe in the judgment and the raging fire. But it is real, and it is coming, and it is for those who miss the grace of God. For those who don't accept Jesus as Savior, that's all that is left is a fearful expectation of judgment. Verse 28, he says, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? See, Jesus Christ died for our sins, and to reject him or to not fully accept him and embrace him as your Savior leaves you with only a fearful expectation of judgment. It is as though you have trampled underfoot the Son of God. And notice the very last part of that verse. He says, and insulted the Spirit of grace. You see, God offers this grace to everyone, and all we have to do is receive it by faith. That's all that is required of us, is just to receive it. It's a free gift given to us. And to reject it, to not accept it, is to insult that Spirit of grace. Many people miss the grace of God because they just insist on going on their own way rather than putting their faith and trust in Jesus. Some people miss the grace of God because of unbelief. They might acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior, the Redeemer of mankind, but they fail to fully put their faith and trust in Him as the one who died on the cross for their sins. They don't really believe that He paid for all of their sin. There's unbelief there, and because of that unbelief, they fail to receive of God's grace. Ephesians 2:8 says it very plainly, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace comes to all of us through faith. You receive this grace by believing. You believe that Jesus really is God's Son, that He really did pay the price for your sins, and that you really are forgiven, that you really have been made righteous, not because of what you've done, but because of what He has done. Romans 5:2 says, through whom, Jesus, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We gained this access into this grace by faith. You got to believe that it's for you. The natural progression, there are many people miss the grace of God because they try to earn their salvation. They try to earn their righteousness. They're still looking for a self-righteousness instead of the righteousness that is by faith. It's by faith that we receive God's grace, not by works. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And you know, even among Spirit-filled believers in our generation, there is still a problem of people wanting to add works and certain parts of the law and even traditions of men in order to say that they are more spiritual and more righteous than others. And they miss the grace of God. It is really strange to me that there are men, women too, in our generation, that think that they can become more righteous by going back and studying the Old Testament law and Jewish tradition and implementing those in their life as a means to be more righteous. Now, this isn't something that everybody needs, but I'm going to say this because I believe there's some that need to hear it. And if there's just one that needs to hear this morning, I want you to hear it. Anytime you put yourselves under that mentality of works where you're trying to earn or deserve something from God, you miss the grace of God. Galatians 5:4 says this, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace." Some have even gone so far as to say that you need to be circumcised. Now, if that's not anything that concerns you, don't worry about it. But I'm telling you, it is a strange thing that in our day, in the body of Christ, among Spirit-filled believers, there are people saying, well, you need to be circumcised. Well, let's just read what the Bible says. In Galatians 5:6, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Tell you, don't allow those kinds of attitudes to creep in into your own heart and life, because it will cause you to miss the grace of God. And you know, that leads right into the next point, because what's behind all of that attitude of works and trying to earn something from God is pride. And pride will always cause you to miss the grace of God. Now, I realize all of the points I've made this morning are in somewhat review. We've talked about these things in previous weeks, but it's just very important to realize these things can cause you to miss the grace of God. James 4:6 says that God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You know, the only way you can receive grace is to humble yourself, because you are admitting that you can't do it on your own. That's the only way we can receive of God's grace, is to say, you know what? I can't earn it. I can't deserve it. We all receive it the same way as everybody else. You see, with grace, there's no room for boasting. There's no room for pride. It's not about what we have done. And we can no longer compare ourselves with other people and say, oh, well, yeah, I needed God's grace, but I didn't need as bad as them. We all came the same way, by the blood of the Lord Jesus, with faith in Him, and it's all by grace, through faith. Pride will cause you to miss out on the grace of God. You know, one of the things that happens when we allow pride in our heart is that we also begin to pass judgment on other people. When you look at other people with a critical spirit and judgment in your heart, you need to check yourself and realize that you've allowed pride in. Because only pride would cause us to look down on somebody else and think, well, I'm better than that. Only pride would cause us to judge them and say, well, they don't deserve. What's grace about? Undeserved favor. But when we start deciding what someone else deserves or don't deserve, it's an indication that pride has gotten in our life. Let's go back to Hebrews 12:15. "See to it that no one misses the grace of God." I just have to stop. What a tragic thing. Grace that's been provided and given for every one of us. What a tragic thing for someone to miss the grace of God. "And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." The King James Version calls it a root of bitterness. Bitterness will cause you to miss the grace of God. The Bible makes it very plain and very clear that in keeping people from missing the grace of God, you got to deal with the root of bitterness. Bitterness is simply the result of unforgiveness in the heart. You know, when we get hurt or wronged, we have to forgive, or else that root of bitterness will begin to grow. all of us get hurt. It's universal. Some certainly have had deeper hurts than others or more often, but we all get hurt. It happens to everybody. I know there's some people who want to act like nothing ever touches them, nothing ever hurts them. They're probably the one that have, because of hurts, they have tried to make themselves less vulnerable and put on a hard outer shell to keep from being hurt. But all of us have been hurt, and all of us go through things that are difficult, things that are difficult to forgive and to turn over to God and allow His healing and His grace to work in us. But that bitterness will cause you to miss the grace of God. You know, sometimes people harbor things in their heart for a long, long time, and they may not even realize it, but it poisons their life. And as that root of bitterness grows, the Bible says that it will cause trouble, that it will defile many. I want to tell you, if you want to find all that God has for you and walk in all the blessings He has for you, all the riches of His grace, you can't allow bitterness in your heart. It will cause you to miss the grace of God. You know, it may be something that happened to you when you were younger. Somebody mistreated you or took advantage of you. Might be somebody cheated you out of a promotion, or somebody lied about you. Maybe a spouse, maybe a parent. It might be brothers and sisters in the Lord. You see, hurts come in all shapes and sizes and all kinds. You know, it may be a tragic event or one horrible thing that a person did to you that can cause unforgiveness and it turn into bitterness. Or it can be a culmination of things that happened over time. Maybe one person that hurt you over and over. Or even just many, many, many people and many, many different hurts, and you can't even recall all of the faces and all of the things that were done. But the end result was the same, is that over time, this unforgiveness built up and it turned into bitterness. And you know, it talks about a root of bitterness. You don't see the root, but we see the fruit. We see the results, and we see what happens in people's lives as a result of bitterness. Now, you know, sometimes you can even see it on their face. When somebody's been bitter a long time, it affects their appearance. It affects their health. It affects their countenance. It affects and infects their relationships with other people. I'll tell you, the root of bitterness causes you to miss so much of the grace of God, so much of the riches of His grace, the blessings that God wants to pour in your life. But bitterness will hurt you. You know, that's the strange thing about bitterness. It doesn't hurt, usually it doesn't hurt the person that wronged you, but it hurts you. And it ends up hurting your loved ones. And it will end up even hurting innocent people. You know, this is, of course, an extreme example, but we hear it all the time. You pick up the paper and read about these kinds of events where someone has done some horrible thing and hurt innocent people. And almost always, there is a bitterness. There is an anger in their heart. And in their reasoning for why they did what they did, somewhere there's blame for wrongs that had been done to them, whether it's by a person or a group of people or society in general. There's an anger and a bitterness that's there. And what did the Bible say here? That root of bitterness caused trouble and defile many. And here's one of the sad things about people allowing bitterness, that root of bitterness, to grow in their life, is that usually they don't hurt the guilty. They hurt other innocent people. Now that's as I said, an extreme example. But in our own hearts and lives, if we don't deal with unforgiveness and we allow a root of bitterness to take hold, It will affect the way that we talk to our children and the way that we treat our spouse and our co-workers. And we may even find ourselves lashing out or taking it out on a stranger. But if the root of bitterness is not dealt with, it'll defile other people. It'll hurt other people. The terrible thing about bitterness is it won't just destroy you, but it'll hurt those around you. You know, nobody wants to be a bitter person. So how can we avoid that root of bitterness? How can we keep ourselves free from unforgiveness? You know, there's the key. I want you to remember that. It's very, very simple. If you don't forgive, bitterness will eventually develop. Unforgiveness turns into resentment and bitterness. Unforgiveness has to be dealt with. First and foremost, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it will keep you from being forgiven. How does bitterness cause you to miss the grace of God? Because if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. I realize in the body of Christ today, there are many who have been deceived and are teaching false doctrine and saying, oh, it doesn't matter if you forgive or not, you're forgiven. That's not what Jesus taught. It's not what's taught through the epistles of Paul. It's taught nowhere in the Bible. What is taught over and over through the New Testament is that if we are to be forgiven, we ourselves have to forgive. It's not an option. If we want to be free, we have to forgive others. Jesus taught us this in what we call the Lord's Prayer. He says, Father, He taught us to pray this way, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Listen, it is as you forgive that you are forgiven. In fact, the way it's worded, it is in the same process that as you forgive, you are forgiven. And you know, just like it is today for us that we just, you know, we just want to react to that and say, wait a minute, I've been hurt and I've been wrong. Jesus knew that even the disciples were going to struggle with that one part of the prayer. So as soon as he finishes the prayer, he says in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, he says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And Jesus makes it so plain and clear. He illustrates this same principle several times in the parables about the debts that we owe to God. How can we not release others from the debt that they owe to us? Now I tell you this morning, you miss the grace of God if you will not extend that grace to others, because it truly is for everyone. And when you withhold forgiveness and grace from somebody, you are testifying that you don't really believe in grace. Oh, I believe in it for me, just not them. It doesn't work. We miss the grace of God. No, the only way we can be a recipient of His grace and forgiveness is as we also forgive others. You see, we all need God's grace and His mercy. None of us could stand justice. But sometimes we want it for others. James 2, 12 and 13, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. See, there's only one way to avoid judgment. It's to be merciful. And the one who doesn't show mercy, the Bible says, will have judgment without mercy. Showing mercy's not an option then, is it? No, because we need God's mercy. None of us wants to be treated as our sins deserve. You see, if we don't show that mercy to others, we miss the grace of God ourselves. For the Christian, forgiveness is not optional. No, we who have been forgiven have to forgive. Forgiveness is releasing that person from the debt that they owe you. Those wrongs that they committed and the hurt that they did to you, it is as though there is a debt there that needs to be paid. Well, forgiveness is releasing them from that debt. Some will say, well, I just can't let it go. Well, I got a little truth for you. You don't have to just let it go. What you do have to do is give it to God. Turn it over to the Lord. You know, this morning, I want you to understand, I in no way am belittling or making light of the hurts and things that you've experienced. I understand full well how that those things can bring such heartache into your life and affect you. But I also know that the only way that you can really be healed and move on in all that God has for you in the future is to forgive that and let it go. To turn it over to God. You know, the Bible says, the Lord Himself declares, vengeance is mine. So you just turn it over to God and trust Him as the judge. The Bible says there's one judge and lawgiver. It's not us. We're not to be anybody's judge. We turn that over to God and we release them from the debt. We forgive them and leave that in the hands of God. I want to tell you, bitterness is just out of character for a Christian. It has no place in our lives. And we just have to make a choice to get rid of it. And you know, making a choice is a very important point because when we forgive somebody, we don't necessarily feel it. I mean, when somebody's really hurt you and somebody has set themselves against you, and I'll just tell you, I know myself pretty well after 50 years. I know myself pretty well, and I've had some things where people tried to hurt me and did things to me and really ugly to me, and I had no problem getting over it. But where I have struggled sometimes is where it went on for years and where it's still going on. You know what I'm saying? Where somebody is stabbing me in the back and trying to do me harm or coming against our church and those kinds of things, and it's still in process. I have a hard time with that. I have a real hard time forgiving that and letting that go, and I don't feel like it. In fact, you know how I feel. That old flesh wants to rise up and, you know, let's go into fight mode. You want to get mad and get angry and get bitter. You may feel those things, but here's the point. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. Oh, I feel like forgiving. It ain't going to happen. It's a choice that you make. It's a decision that you make. Just like that creditor who tore up the debt, you make a decision to tear up that debt that's owed against you and forgive it. It has to be a choice that you make to forgive. And you can do it. You say, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will help you if you will, by a decision of your will, in prayer, say, Father, I forgive them. God will help you to do it. He'll help you to turn loose of that so that you can be healed and move on in your life. But bitterness is something that you have to make a choice, a decision to deal with and get rid of. Now listen to these verses from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now if I was writing the Bible and I was going to tell you what grieves the Holy Spirit of God, I would probably list out a bunch of big sins here. How about you? I mean, most of us, we're going to talk about what grieves the Holy Spirit. We would come up with some, you know, sins that other people do that we think are really bad, right? But you know what the Bible says here grieves the Holy Spirit? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Listen, none of us allows the trash and garbage to just pile up in our house. Now, I've read about people like that. I've heard of that kind of stuff going on. But none of you is like that, or we could smell it this morning, all right? I mean, Nobody lets the trash and garbage pile up in their house. No, you get trash, you get rid of it. You take it out to the curb or put it in the can, whatever, you get rid of it. Bitterness is the same way. You just have to make a decision that you're not going to harbor this, you're not going to hold this any longer in your heart, but you're going to get rid of it. It's time to carry out the trash and just say, you know what, I'm going to be free from this stuff. I'm not going to allow this to hold me any longer. And you know, if you read on in the rest of the verse there, get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice. It's so prevalent and common in our society. There's so many angry people. You drive down the freeway and people are mad and, you know, expressing it. And you're an innocent person. Now, it's none of us. It's all those other people out there, right? What the real deal is all of that anger. You know, a lot of that is because people feel like they've been wronged again and again, and they've been hurt. And there's this anger and malice. But I tell you, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no room for it. It grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, when something grieves you, you know, it hurts you inside. It, you know, something happens and it just makes you go, oh. That's how the Holy Spirit feels about bitterness. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And the answer is for us to get rid of all that garbage. Verse 32, be kind and compassionate. King James says, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. You see, this old world we live in will tell you that being tender-hearted makes you a fool. But I tell you, because of God's love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we can be tender-hearted and compassionate to people. We don't have to become hard-hearted and calloused. No, be tender-hearted one to another, forgiving each other, and there's that key again, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. If you want to keep bitterness out of your life, you got to choose to forgive. And you know, like I shared about myself a few minutes ago, when it's an ongoing thing, and you know, for most of us, we deal with hurts and wrongs on a daily basis, you just have to learn to walk in forgiveness. That you're just not going to take that stuff in. You're not going to allow it to get into your heart and into your spirit. But instead, you're going to pray about it and forgive it. And I tell you, when you do that, you can walk in love. You can walk in compassion towards people. You'd be surprised how God will open doors and use you. Amen. But keep the bitterness out of your life by choosing to forgive on a daily basis. If you want to keep bitterness out of your life, and I want to say this, especially if this is something that you're struggling with, you need to be careful and be wise about who you hang around. Because I have seen over and over that most of the time, bitter people will get together with other bitter people and share their hurt stories and how they've been wronged and share their anger, and it all feeds off of one another. And if you want to keep bitterness out of your life, you need to be wise and hang around some people who are walking in grace, walking in forgiveness, walking in love. Now, this certainly can be used for good, and please don't take this the wrong way. But sometimes a lot of angry, hurt, bitter people get together and they call it a support group. And they all talk about their hurts and they keep going on and on and on. Well, I want to say this very plainly. The Bible says that we are to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed. And I believe that scripture. In fact, I believe it's not practiced enough in the body of Christ. I think it's part of what's wrong with the body of Christ is that we are afraid to be real with one another and share our weaknesses and our faults and our hurts. But we're supposed to so we can pray one for another. And I want to tell you, if you have some hurts in your life, sometimes you need to have a cry. It's okay that you're hurt. It's okay for you to cry. But you need to deal with it and let God deal with it and then move on from it. There's a time, sometimes you need to go to some other brother or sister in the Lord and say, pray with me about this. I've been hurt so much and I haven't been able to get past that. I need you to pray with me about that. But you see, you deal with that, put it under the blood of Jesus, and believe God to heal your hurt, and then move on from it. When people just want to keep talking about it, they're keeping an open wound. They're not really looking for healing or freedom from the past and from those hurts. They're just continuing to keep an open wound, and that bitterness remains and it destroys them. So I encourage you, it's important the kind of people that you hang out with. If you're struggling with bitterness, you don't want to be hanging out with other bitter people. You want to hang out with some people that are walking in forgiveness and know how to forgive the way you want to. Amen. You know, by the way, I'll just share this with you quickly. Solomon said that he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So it is a biblical truth that who you hang out with is going to have an influence on your life. You just tend to become more like the people that you hang out with. If you want to avoid bitterness and keep that root of bitterness out of your life, you need to be careful to keep your attitude grateful. One of the things that happens with bitter people is that they always become ungrateful, what the Bible calls scornful. They see everything in a negative light. There's this anger, this bitterness that causes them to see life in a bad way, and they miss so much of the good things in life simply because of the attitude of their heart. On the flip side, when we learn to be grateful, it is amazing how we see the grace of God in our life. When we just learn to be grateful for the blessings and be thankful for every good thing in our life, it's amazing how that helps us not to be bitter about things, bad things that have happened in the past. If you really want to be free from bitterness, put an end to negative conversations. Listen to this from Ephesians 4:29 in the King James Version. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. That it may minister grace to the hearers. You see, if your conversation isn't ministering grace, if it's ministering pride and judgment and anger, and I'm telling you, it's going to develop in you and those around you. It's going to develop a root of bitterness. Be careful about your conversation and what you speak out of your mouth. In fact, James chapter 3, verse 9 through 11, in the King James, it says, therewith, with our mouths, we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Bitter. You see, if you got bitterness in your heart, it starts coming out of your mouth. I want to tell you, when you get rid of all the bitterness in your heart, you need to put a watch over your mouth that you don't allow yourself to say bitter things. You don't allow yourself to say ugly things about other people. In fact, the Bible says you can't have sweet water and bitter out of the same fountain. You can't be saying in church on Sunday morning, oh, praise the Lord, and then on Monday morning talking about how you can't stand that sorry rascal. Praising and blessing God and then cursing men that are made in His likeness. Now, if you want to keep bitterness out of your life, put a bridle on it. That's what the Bible says. If any man seems to be religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, his religion is in vain, and he deceives himself. So I encourage you, if you want to keep the bitterness out, You got to make a decision. You got to make a choice to get rid of it. You need to be careful about the kind of people that you hang out with and allow to influence you. Don't hang out with bitter people if you're having a rough time dealing with past hurts. Change your attitude and become a grateful person. Look for the good. Quit looking for all the things that are bad. It'll help you. It'll help you move on past the things in the past that have happened. And keep your conversation full of grace. Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Don't allow the root of bitterness to cause you to miss out on the grace of God. God has so many great things in store for you. Bitterness is one of the ways that you can miss it. I want to encourage you also today to allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart and see if there's any unforgiveness. See if there's some things that have happened that you've not really made that decision to forgive. And sometimes you make that decision, but over time it seems like it kind of creeps back in. Well, there's just one thing to do. Make it again. Say, Lord, I choose to forgive. I'm not going to allow this in my life. Now, one of the things that I see in Scripture and I see in the lives of people today is that when people hold bitterness, when they allow unforgiveness to stay in their life long enough and it turns into that root of bitterness that defiles many, eventually that bitterness is turned towards the Lord. God, why did you let this happen to me? Why did you allow this person to do this to me? Why don't you punish that person? I want to tell you, bitterness will destroy your relationship with God. It'll cause you to miss the grace of God.